John.
Hey, it's Howard.
McMillan, how are you?
Howard, how are you?
I'm okay. How's your day going today?
Great. Great, thank you. Busy. Very busy. How about you?
It's good. Busy. I'm definitely, nothing too major with the Wells Fargo news. I don't know if you saw or have been reading about, it's just kind of a continuation. Who is this texting me? I'm going to try this. So my two assistants, one is kind of a market guy who's putting together, one is a CA, right? And the other one is kind of putting together the notebooks, et cetera. I'm not too sure I need to have them on for some or most of these calls. What's your opinion of that?
What's your opinion, Chris?
Well, Chris is not on. Is Chris on?
Yep.
Hello? This is Howard.
Yeah, I know, but he might have muted himself, but he was on.
Oh, he was on. Oh.
Yeah.
Chris, are you on? I'm gonna tell him we don't need to be on. What do you think?
Well, it just depends. I mean, does he have any questions or I mean, this is a team effort. The question is, is it, do you want it to be a team process or do you want it to be your process?
Good point. Let me, I'll tell him to dial in.
Let me ask you a question. Did we get messed up last week on the 12th? We were supposed to have a call and I never could get you on the call. Were you there or did you forget or what happened?
So last week, I apologize. Last week I was out. I thought that Paul had talked to you and so, we had an advisor leave, so the good news is that day I was actually getting paperwork signed. I thought I would be back in time, but I was not back in time, so I apologize for that. But I called Paul to talk. Did you talk to Paul or anyone?
I didn't have any notes on it. I just wrote down that there was, no there, but maybe he did. I can't recall.
Okay. That's all right. So the good news is we got two accounts. Chris, you on?
Yeah, I just got on.
Okay. Got two new accounts that are signed up from this advisor who left. One is for one is a million. Let's see. One is 1.2 million. The other is 1.1, and they're both at 1.25%. So I didn't have to go lower on the fee. So that's about 21,000 in new revenue, 2.3 million in new assets. And went through the whole supernova process with them. They were impressed. So they're saying, that's good. And then, it is really good stuff. So then just this morning, heard back from, you remember my client from a couple of weeks ago, the 3.5 million together, what's church with?
Yeah.
So he confirmed, this morning actually that he's coming over. He's very, he's complimentary of the process and, yeah, here's what's interesting for you. You kind of like this stuff, I'm sure. Let me just read you verbatim on, and you can give me your feedback on this. So he says, the similarities between our business is such that I have to once again compliment you on your client relationship skills. I don't get this often, by the way. He said, these are a lot harder to teach and learn. Specifically, I appreciate you not approaching me about the account after church service yesterday. I'm sorry, let me get rid of this. One second. You there?
Yeah.
Okay. So he said, he really appreciated me not approaching him about the account at church. And he goes on to say he's a lifelong family friend. And his wife, this is his wife. So his wife was a colonel in the Air Force. And his wife's father was an Army 3-star general.
Wow.
And this guy that they've been dealing with was his advisor for, you know, many, many generations. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he's very, very impressed with the, is that Paul?
Yeah.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Paul.
So, Paul, is this, sharing that Frank Strickland, I shouldn't say the name, but anyway, that you know who I'm talking about, Paul. He is, he's definitely coming over. So now we gotta, now the work with him begins.
Okay.
So that's good stuff. And we were keeping two of the, relationships from the advisor that, is leaving or has left. So that's Brandon and McGovern. You already know that.
Mm-hmm.
So Tribuke Law, so we got another 1.2. So that's 7 million in net new assets this year so far and 64,000 in net new revenue.
Yeah, that could be worse.
Yeah, on the right track. A question for you about the folders, Rob. So, and I was talking with Chris about this, in your package, and just tell me what your opinion of this is. So in your package, you've got, so the different sections have the client's critical information. So we've got something called the Financial Strategy Action Plan. Have you stop me from talking about this already? I think I just talked to Chris about it. But essentially, you're familiar with our Invasion Plan, which is a cash flow forecast, right?
Yeah.
In a financial plan light. And then we also have something called the FSAP, which lists a lot of the client's critical data. My point is, and we have our own performance pieces. So those, we can certainly use those as opposed to the kind of, right, in the different sections.
Sure. Absolutely. Whatever makes it easier for you, as long as you're capturing the information.
Yeah. And my thought was to go to the meetings with the bound copy that we will go through, that's, you know, presentation, you know, landscape copy, and then as kind of an extra touch to take in pre-punched copies of that data that will go in their folder, and I could even, if they have their folder, even do it for them right there.
Right, I would. Go ahead and put it in there.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, that's good. All
right. So, you see what I'm saying, Chris?
The pieces
that the folder system references. Instead of recreating a wheel using Supernova, we use the pieces that align that we've already worked on internally. We just can create printouts of that, and they have it all succinctly right there together.
Exactly.
So, Rob, tell me about weeding in a classy way tell me about weaving in the referral piece, because I do have some hesitation. I know one of my clients in particular, he's a little bit of a smart ass, and I'm going to have that, you know, referral section in there. He'll say something like, I said, this is why you're doing this. So you get referrals from it. So tell me about how you think best practices are to address that.
Well, I'd say yes.
You know, of course. You say, no, you're right.
Yeah, I would say, of course, you know, we want to grow our practice, and if you feel that what we're doing is value and you want to reward us with an introduction, we'd love to have that.
Okay.
You know, so I would go with it. Yeah, if he says he wants to be a smart ass, I'd say, yep, that's why we're doing it. And, you know, I've been in too many, you know, my fraternity taught me how to handle guys like that, you know.
Yeah.
You go with it. You don't fight them because they're going to be, they're not used to you agreeing then. They're like, what? You know, because then they have nothing to say.
So you agree with them.
Yeah. So.
Good point.
And the truth is that you are doing it to keep them as a client, and to have them introduce you to other people who would value what you have to say.
Yes.
And what you're offering. So, of course, that's why you're doing it. But it's, the reason you have it in the folder is to just jog your memory as to people that you've introduced them to and people that they've introduced to you.
And so, wow, that's just going to be blank.
Right. So one of the things you want to do is go back through, though, once a year on one of the calls and just reflect on what's happened with the introductions that they've given you, so that they can be up to date without breaking confidentiality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because people are interested. People are interested in, you know, how does that work out with Bob Smith? Oh, it worked out great. He loves us. You know, he's a great client now, and we really appreciate the introduction.
Okay.
So you're reinforcing the behavior that you're trying to encourage, right?
Yeah.
All right, so that is not a dumb thing to do. Some people do that. And that wasn't even taught by me, but other people have taught that as a part of their process. And I thought, that makes sense, so we'll adopt that.
The other people that taught that, what do you mean? Say it again?
Yeah, other people, you know, some of my competitors have taught the idea of going in and reminding clients when they introduce you to somebody that person is a client and has stayed with you.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So you're reinforcing the fact that it was a good decision. What you're really doing is reinforcing that it was a good decision to send them to you.
Sure. Yes.
Okay. People like to be right, and they like to be helpful.
Yep.
So those are good things.
Okay.
So what else is on your mind from the week and the lesson? And are you guys getting a chance to watch the videos, Chris and Paul? Are you getting a chance to?
I'm behind on one, so I'm caught up, but I'm on week five.
I'm also a little behind. I've had a busy couple weeks.
Okay. Do you guys have questions on Supernova, or are you stuck on anything, or is it starting to flow for you?
No, it's starting to make sense for me.
Yeah, it's starting to flow very well.
All right, good.
We're just trying to, you know, get everything done on the spreadsheet, you know, getting caught up in the whole process.
Good. The scheduler. Right. Okay.
Yeah,
and also I put a spreadsheet together on all the different things that we need to do for each client. And a lot of it dovetails with Supernova, so it's basically the Supernova process, but we also have some internal newsletters that only get emailed out. We got a quarterly letter, got an internal letter, and I send out some birthday cards, things like that, kind of having a client service matrix, right? But the most important part of that is the 12 monthly calls, scheduled calls, and the quarterly meetings, and two of them being in person, and the estate plan, the multi-generational plan, also the still a little fuzzy on how to cloak that piece of, you know, in fact, I just talked to someone about it, you know, that we will handle issues within 24 hours. We're going to return calls. So is the problem, you return a call within an hour, is that right? Return calls within 1 hour and handle any issues within 24 hours.
Right.
Okay.
So, I'm just saying we put together a rapid response team.
Okay.
So, any and all problems, we have 1 hour response, 24 hour resolution. You think, wow, that sounds fabulous. Well, most problems get solved in 24 hours. I mean, they don't take that long anymore. Unless there's a serious problem with the system. But, you know, so, and if you can't do it, you can add that. If we can't do it in 24 hours, we'll get back to you and tell you how long, and then when it's solved, we'll tell you that it's been solved. I mean, that's all it is about, right?
So, Paul, some of this is going to fall on you, because you're theoretically the guy that's at the desk all day.
Of course.
So if I get a call, and you can't get a hold of me, you can't just send me an email and hope I got it.
Almost the thing that only you can handle.
Right. Yeah, and then you gotta call me in my cell and let me know, okay, this guy called at, 12:50, it's now 1:48. We told him we'd be back to him in an hour. He's going to call bullshit on me if you don't call him.
Right. So I
would email
and give you a call in that kind of situation.
Yeah, you see what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a tall task to return a call within an hour. I mean, an hour can go by in 4 minutes.
Well, I think it takes at least 60, but
not easy. But you know what I mean? I mean, you're even expecting that. What? It's 3? How did that happen? Right? Wouldn't you agree with that?
I think the spirit of it is that you are, is that the team is going to, I mean, it doesn't, to me, unless they specifically ask for you.
Yeah.
That the team that's handling the 1 hour response and the 24 hour resolution of problems.
Yeah.
I don't consider, being concerned about the market. A problem for me is I didn't get my dividend. Something happened here.
Right.
My statement's wrong.
Oh, there's almost nothing that'll require you for that hour. That's almost always all you have to handle.
Yeah, so I guess my point is let's just be cognizant, because I'm out here, screaming from the mountaintop that we're going to get back to him within an hour, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, for whatever that's worth. Okay, so Rob, another question about, so there's a banker on the other line calling about this exact issue, so here we go. So the guy left, I know we're not going to compete on fees, but here's the deal. This is a Mercedes-Benz and BMW dealer based in California. He's got $10 million here. His new guy, which is an ex-broker here, which I'm trying to retain him, of course. The new broker or the ex-Wells Fargo broker, who's now at Raymond James, is going to do the asset management for 50 basis points, and he's going to cut his credit line, 35 as well. Again, $10 million relationship. There's concentrated equities in there too that he's going to be getting out of, and then there's also the nice thing about it from my standpoint is he is a Mercedes dealer, and I have almost won some car dealers not too long ago, but it'd be nice to have one. And so it's a hell of a lot easier to keep someone here than just go get a new one. What's your opinion of that?
Well, I mean, how do you feel about it?
Look, like I just said, I mean, it's a $10,000 relationship. You know,
what?
$10,000 in revenue.
No, $100,000.
Nah. Huh?
It's a $10 million client.
So it's a $10 million client, but only $2 million of it is managed.
Oh, well.
So. And so we'd be doing it. Yeah, so we'd be doing it for 50 basis points, which is 10 grand.
Yeah.
What's that?
I mean, I wouldn't. I mean, for 10 grand at 50 basis points, I'd do it. But no, for 2 million? I mean, I don't know. It depends on whether you like the guy and you think it might be a good relationship. But I don't like to compete on price. I mean, what are you going to charge him, 70 basis points?
No, it'd be 50. So it'd be $10,000 a year in annual revenue to me. Not a whole lot of work.
Oh, yeah, it is. Got to go to California twice.
I wish I had to work on one for that one.
It's $5,000 in airline fees.
He's got a little cheaper than that. But yes, no, from that standpoint, you would lose money, but it's more having that relationship, having the dealer. You say no.
But it's in California.
Yeah.
With a local dealer, I'd say, yeah, let's go talk to him and go work on him.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't.
So don't stress too much for him.
I don't see that it makes any sense. For 10 grand, you're going to make 4 grand on the thing. Net, and it's going to cost you more than that to service him. You're going to lose money.
Yep.
Okay.
True enough. All right. It's not the answer I wanted to hear, but.
No, if you can get 50, if you can get 10 million under management, then you're talking.
Well, that's okay. So you just said something. So he's got a large position because what he did is he sold a piece of the dealership to a corporate entity, which he is liquidating slowly. He wants to be completed. So that's another $5 million, which would come under management within the next 18 months.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that takes it to, that's another $25,000.
Yeah.
In fees.
Now you're talking.
Okay. Now that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Of course. So if he does that, you know, within a year or two, then it's a $35,000 client.
Right. And then it makes sense.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So you can
problem is, I don't know if the firm is going to cut his. I don't know if the firm's going to cut his credit line fee from 125 to 70. I think they're going to go to 1, and then they'll say, you know, because he's got. He's got two other firms that are quoting him 70 basis points above LIBOR, and I can't get Wells to go that low. So I'm trying to make the case for it, though.
Yeah, you don't care about that. You don't make any money on that anyway, so, you know, you can tell.
Right. But their standpoint is like yours. They're like, well, if he's going to put that to us and let him go. I'm like,
You gotta make a business decision. And it's gotta be a person that you like and that you wanna work with.
I do like him. He's a very good guy. We spent a lot of time talking. He's a reasonable dude and he's been straight up with me. So
the question is if you match him on fees, would you still stay?
Yes. We just talked. Yes, he would. They want to stay. I mean, they got tons of accounts and stuff like that here. His wife, I think, wants to stay. But, you know, 70 basis points compared on the, especially on the credit line, you're talking, we'll go, so he's at 125 now. We'll go down to 1, which saves him 10 grand. But if he gets down from 1 to 70, that's another 10 grand. So we're trying to cut it in the middle, and that's not going to be good enough.
Yeah.
My question is how hard to fight for this, and I think what I'm fighting for is the liquidation of the concentrated positions, which is another $5 million. And then he's got another $5 million and another concentrated position on top of that. But that's not going to be liquidated anytime soon, so I'm just working for that. The five. You see what I mean?
Yeah. Would he consider an exchange fund?
You know, I have not thought about that. That is a good idea, though. I haven't, that has not crossed my mind in a while.
Well, the advantage is that if you show them a new idea,
yes,
you know that you're not the same as the other guy. You have more ideas.
Good point. Yeah, and those exchange funds, they are they going to circumvent the tax implications?
Well, to me,
not
completely. You'd have to look at it. I was at an Eaton Vance presentation the other day, and it made me think of it.
Okay.
I did exchange funds myself for Merrill Lynch.
Yeah.
Star, you know, so that worked out great for me, but.
Did it mitigate some of the tax implications?
Oh, sure. You just exchange it. You don't pay any taxes. You just exchange it until you throw the exchange fund. You don't pay any tax. At least that's the way it was then. Now, this is 2006.
Yep.
So,
you know, I have not thought about an exchange fund in a while, but that's a good point. Okay.
But, I mean, you know, we get a market that gets volatile. He could get nervous, and that would be a, that would be an interesting story, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So, you know, okay. we're talking about.
Definitely.
And that might,
right.
You know. What else?
I think that's it. We just got to keep whittling away at it. You gotta watch the next videos and work on getting more folders to more clients and prospects.
Okay, the next two chapters take into account two big concepts, 6 and 7. One of them is this idea of the 24-month calendar.
Okay.
And this is where you all can be a help to each other. The 24-month calendar is really the responsibility of the vice president or director of implementation. And that means that you run these events or run these ideas for 2 months. Well, let's say we were going to do long-term care. We'd introduce the idea of long-term care as an educational piece so that everyone would understand it, what it means, how much it costs. And if somebody were interested in it, then we give ourselves another month to make sure we have time to follow up on that. But as you guys can see, things happen and you get busy, and if you jam your calendar too much, it's going to make you crazy. So, you know, you're going to talk about debt financing, lines of credit, right? Secured lines of credit, mortgages, margin, credit card debt. There's all kinds of debt. And so that would, you know, so you teach people about their debt, find out about their debt, and then, you know, give yourself another month to follow up. Somebody needs a line of credit, you help them, or a mortgage. So that's the idea. So these 1242s are not just random phone calls.
Yeah.
They have a purpose, and it's an educational purpose, which can end up being, a consulting purpose, which ends up being an economic purpose for both of you. All right, so you can end up making money on this. But we used to, call on stock ideas, and we call everybody in our book, right? Now what we're doing is following up on financial planning ideas, long-term care, you know, all kinds of things, right? But each one takes time. And then so you want to give yourself time. So that's your 24-month calendar. That's on the second page of chapter 6. I give you a sample, and you guys, you know, make up your own, just like you're making up your own folders, make up your own 24-month calendar. But then you can actually send it to your clients, and then they're prepared, you're prepared, and it works out really well. Now, one of the things you should do, 3 days before you have a call, you should send the client the agenda, and in that email, you should say, if you'd like to add something to this agenda, please feel free to do it. And the reason I say that, it's one of the things that made clients the maddest, was that exact thing. They said they liked the idea of an agenda. They hated the fact that they couldn't add what they wanted to talk about onto the agenda. Mm. So they felt like the FA wasn't listening to them. They weren't being heard. They weren't being heard. So it goes from a positive to a negative.
Mm.
So you never want to do that. Okay? All right, so the next thing that's on there is the enthusiastically endorsed list. So make sure you watch the video 7 on the enthusiastically endorsed list, because that has great marketing implications. And I'll show you how that works. I'll show you how that works next week when we talk about the chapter 7, but it's really, really good.
Okay.
And it's very, very helpful for you. All right, so anything else that we didn't cover that you have questions on?
No.
Okay.
I think we know what we need to do. Now, I am going to be on vacation next week. Then you can send me an email. I think it would be kind of tricky for me to try to do this from a condo in Florida.
Yeah, have Chris or Paul send Cindy an email and just tell her that you're out for next week and just to put you on week four.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, I'll know.
All right, thanks very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Talk in 2 weeks. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.